Shabbat Shalom. More than any other people, the Jewish people know precisely when and where the Syrian refugee crisis first began. Every year, every Jew, at every Passover Seder table, recites the words, Arami Oved Avi, sometimes translated as, my father was a wandering Aramean, sometimes translated as, an Aramean sought to destroy my father. We recall the plight of our forefather Jacob as he fled from the hostile conditions of his Aramean surroundings. Aram, as many of you may know, is a biblical name for the land which up until recently we all called Syria. Come and learn, we call out to each other at the Seder table, what Laban the Syrian sought to do to our father Jacob. Jacob was a refugee twice over, having first taken flight from the murderous intentions of his brother Esau, and now in this week's Torah reading, seeking refuge from the hostile pursuit of his father-in-law Laban. My father was a wandering Aramean. Year after year, we return to the core text of the core ritual at the heart of who we are as a people. The very first Syrian refugee was a Jew. Not just any Jew, but the very patriarch who would go on to become Israel, the namesake for our entire people. At risk of stating the obvious, to be a Jew means to identify with the stranger in our midst. You shall not oppress a stranger, we read in Exodus, for you were once a stranger in Egypt. Or alternatively, as is stated in Deuteronomy, you shall love the stranger, for you were once strangers in a strange land. The obligation goes beyond our mere requirement to recall our alien status. Specifically, it's a migration from one place to another. Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim, a memory of the exodus from Egypt that we recall. As a great scholar David Daube explained, the flight of Jacob from the house of Laban foreshadowed Israel's national exodus from their oppressive conditions in Egypt, a cycle that would repeat itself over and over again. Genesis or Exodus, tribal or national, in the prayer book or the Passover Haggadah, the DNA of the Jewish people is ever mindful of our own historical experience. From our ancient migrations to the pogrom-induced tenements of the Lower East Side, be it the exodus of Soviet Jewry or the rescue of Ethiopian Jewry, we know ourselves to be a people of displaced immigrants. It is a self-awareness that is meant not only to be inward-looking, but also leveraged towards impacting well beyond the boundaries of our community. To be a Jew is to possess a reflexive sort of empathy that no matter our comfort level, when we see another in that displaced condition which was once our own, muscle memory kicks in. We identify with the other. We are prompted to compassion. And most importantly, we're impelled towards acts of radical hospitality. This past week has been a difficult one. And all of us continue to reel at the news of the barbaric attacks in Paris. So many of us turned out on Sunday night as Cantor Schwartz recited prayers of solidarity, mourning, and healing at the French consulate. We're all trying to acclimate ourselves to the new and terrifying normal of indiscriminate attacks in Beirut, Baghdad, over Egypt, in Mali, or otherwise. As Jews, we're acutely aware of the parochial dimensions of this conflict, the Jews of Europe serving as a proverbial canary in the coal mine, a radicalized, violent, and rabidly anti-Semitic strain of Islam. This week, a Jewish teacher brutally stabbed in the French southern city of Marseille. We're all struggling with so many questions. What exactly should the military commitment of the United States be in this conflict? What are our goals and who are our allies? How do you fight a war against an enemy who exists both beyond and within your borders? Why have I yet to hear a Muslim religious authority forcefully denounce the attacks of the past week in religious terms, repudiating the perpetrators as a misrepresentation and affront to Islam? What is the right balance between our own civil liberties and the security measures necessary to protect those liberties? It's been an altogether sobering and troubling week, a week that has left us with more questions than answers. But what I don't question, what I feel secure in saying and sharing with you today, is what the stance of American Jewry should be regarding the Syrian refugees. It has been with great alarm and dismay that I've heard presidential candidates play to our baser selves in their declarations of opposition towards the refugees. The comments have ranged from the suggestion to only admit Christians, to repulsive comparisons of refugees to rabid dogs, and dark suggestions that America use a database to track Muslims. State after state, governors have made pronouncements refusing refugees on the grounds of safety and security. It's an irony-filled storyline, as one commentary explained, in that many of these governors refusing to admit refugees on security grounds are the selfsame governors willing to issue semi-automatic guns with the most minimal security background checks. The violence of this past week has served to stoke fears that have given rise to a strain of xenophobia, an intolerance that has resulted in a combination of foot dragging and inaction as the suffering of so many continues. My father was a wandering Aramean. The Jewish community must be on the side of the refugees because it is our moral, legal, and historical mitzvah to fulfill. We all know the story of the St. Louis, the doomed ship carrying over 900 German Jewish refugees fleeing Nazi Germany in May of 39. It was a time of strict immigration quotas, a time when Americans viewed Jewish refugees with suspicion, potential foreign agents capable of attacking the American way of life. Most did not want to welcome in the Jews. The combination of security and economic concerns, veiled and unveiled bigotry, all served to curb the immigration numbers precisely at the moment when they needed to be loosened up. The infamous Evian Conference, when 32 nations convened to discuss the plight of world Jewry, euphemistically dubbing it the refugee problem. The delegates met for 9 days. The declarations of sympathy intermingled with excuses as to why the strangling quotas must remain. As the Australian delegate declared, "We don't have a racial problem, and we don't want to import one." No country save the Dominican Republic offered to receive more Jews, of course not Palestine, which due to the British White Paper of 1939 was effectively shut off from immigration. As David Ben-Gurion would rail in the years to come, "What have you done to us, you freedom-loving people, guardian of justice, defenders of the high principles of democracy, of the brotherhood of man? Why do you profane our pain and empty wrath with empty expressions of sympathy which ring like a mockery in the ears of millions of the damned in the torture houses of Nazi Europe?" Then it was the Jews. Now it's the Syrians. The weight of Jewish history demands that we not sit idly by. There are many reasons why the American Jewish community should come out forcefully on behalf of the refugees. We should do so not only because we are Jews, but we're Americans. We're a nation of immigrants, the wretched refuge of the world. To turn our backs on refugees contradicts our political DNA, our standing order for all those huddled masses yearning to breathe free. We should do so because to refuse the refugees will serve to validate the actions of our enemies, no different than the refusals of the Evian delegates to provide refuge only served to bolster Hitler's murderous intentions in that he saw a world uncaring to the Jews. We should accept the refugees because while nothing is foolproof, it is actually really, really hard to be a refugee in the States. As Jonathan Greenblatt, the new head of the ADL, recently wrote, there already exists a high vetting process for any person seeking refugee status, a combination of background checks, fingerprints, photographs, and interviews, far more rigorous than being here on a student visa. We should welcome refugees because to do so shows the world that it's not either or, but it's both and, that we can hold multiple narratives and one at the same time. We can take the fight to ISIS and be compassionate at home. We can offer assistance to those suffering in a war-torn region and protect those fleeing that very region. To repackage the words of Ben-Gurion, we must fight ISIS as if there's no refugee crisis, and we must welcome the refugees as if there is no ISIS. Finally, American Jewry should advocate for the refugees because to do so is to perform moral jujitsu on the world at large. It was a feeling like no other to volunteer a few weeks ago in Berlin, yarmulke in plain sight, at a Syrian refugee center. What a yummy feeling it was for me to watch those present try to figure out why a Jew would help Arab refugees. Jews should be a forceful voice on the refugees because to do so is a sanctification of God's name. To do so shames those enemies of Israel who sit idly by as their Arab brethren suffer, and because to do so might just prompt the world to work together to address the greatest humanitarian crisis of our time. There are many reasons why American Jewry should come out forcefully on behalf of the refugees. Perhaps most simply because one should always strive to be on the right side of history. And I, for one, am hard-pressed to think of a time when the judgment of history has looked kindly on the decision of a country to refuse refugees. Are there reasons not to accept refugees? Undoubtedly there are. But as Jews, as American Jews, there's nothing wrong. In fact, there is everything right with taking a principled stand, popular or not, and then taking action together as a community. Born in Poland, leader of the militant Irgun, and founder of the Likud party, nobody would ever characterize Israel's sixth prime minister, Menachem Begin, as a bleeding heart liberal, which is why it's all the more remarkable that his very first act as prime minister in 1977 was offering asylum and resettlement to a boatload of Vietnamese boat people. When asked by President Carter then what prompted him to do so, Begin explained, "We've never forgotten the boat with 900 Jews to St. Louis. Having left Germany in the last weeks before the Second World War, traveling from harbor to harbor, from country to country, crying out for refuge. They were refused. Therefore, it was natural," Begin said, "to give those people a haven in the land." My father was a wandering Aramean. To be a Jew is to remember our own wanderings and apply those lessons to the present. To be a Jew is to know that our parochial loyalties not only do not stand in conflict with our responsibilities to a common humanity, but actually serve to inform those obligations. To be an American Jew is to stand heir to the two greatest immigrant traditions on record, that of America and of the Jewish people. May we live up to the mission of our dual heritage, responding to the cry of the Syrian refugees and heeding the call of this desperate hour. Shabbat Shalom.